You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you. And Friday morning. Oh, I just thought it's very scary. It's Friday the 13th.
Oh, trisodecaphobia?
I knew there was a word for it, but I couldn't remember it.
Well, a professor at Simon Fraser University did a study, and he said, Jim, there's no particular bad thing about Friday the 13th at all, you know, statistically.
Yeah.
And then he died.
Oh, sure. No, it's just something people go on about, you know.
Yes, I know. So, in fact, until you mentioned it, I wasn't even looking at the date either.
Yeah. Well, the top of my computer says Friday, December 13th. So there you are.
Yeah. Maybe if we Google it, it'll be bad luck.
Maybe.
We have a question from Michael. Happy holidays, Bob and Jim. Market Watch headline. Government spending shock. U.S. budget deficit soars and worst start to year on record, yet asset prices continue to climb. Bob, where are the bond vigilantes?
Yeah, good one, Michael. Well, actually, if you take a look at the last few days, long-dated treasuries, they've been sort of beat up. The price rally was kind of good because some weeks ago, the street decided that, inflation isn't as bad as we thought. So they bid up on long-dated treasuries, but this is beginning to fade now. And I think that the bond vigilantes will be there in the treasury market. I don't see it going, I see it trending down in price as long rates go up. And the other one that here now lately has become absolutely bulletproof is the action in junk bond prices. And they're at new highs for the move. Everybody's buying risk at a momentum high about a month ago, so who knows. But, you know, it oftentimes markets can be good into January, and markets have been good here. So we'll see, because remember the big crazy silver boom in 1980? I think it peaked on January 21st of 1980. And then there was a quite important peak in the stock market, and I think it was January the 10th, anyways, January for sure, of 1973, and then it went in, it gave up 46% by December 74. So oftentimes you can have pretty strong action out to January, and it could mark the end of a phenomenon. And we'll watch and see what happens with this one.
There's a second part to Michael's question. Long-term interest rates are inching up again despite Fed Chair Powell cutting short-term rates. Will the yield curve uninvert, and will we have an uptick in inflation? Some financial pundits say inflation will only levitate stock and real estate prices. Bob, I'm confused. Doesn't inflation inhibit consumer spending, thus leading to an eventual crash in asset prices due to reduced earnings?
Yeah. Well, we're sort of taking a look here. The street has been celebrating that the Bank of Canada has made some rate cuts, and that the Fed is going to... Actually, the treasury bill rate in the U.S. has been coming down for a couple of months now. Now, we want to look at history. And going back hundreds of years, short rates such as T-bills go up in the boom, and they go down in the bust. So right now you got people saying short rates are going to go down, the Fed's going to cut, and this is good. No, your worst disasters have occurred with falling rates. And a while ago we put a chart together on the S&P with the three-month bill yield. And there's one portion on the chart where the three-month bill yield just literally plunges and so does the S&P. So when they come out with the mantra that short rates are going down and this is going to be good, this is all intuition and they haven't done any research. Short rates going down is bad if you're in stocks and commodities.
Bob, historically, how have tariffs worked out?
They're not good. Anything that restricts the free flow of goods and services is not a good idea. Trump is pushing the 25% tariff, trying to get Ottawa to stop sending nasty people from around the world and across the border into the U.S. And now the province of Alberta has figured it out, and they're making steps to prevent bad people from getting into Alberta and then getting into the States. And, Trudeau, he can't figure out anything anytime. But the Canada federally has got to realize that that's what Trump wants. He wants the bad people to stop coming into the States through Canada. Now, many more have been coming through Mexico, but the Mexican getting the tariff treatment as well. So it's a strategy intended to make the federal government in Canada a little more practical.
Now, the Canadian government says it's floating the idea of oil, uranium, and potash export taxes.
Well, that's crazy.
Is that shooting yourself in the foot?
Yeah, well, the original Trudeau tried to steal the oil and gas business in Alberta, and as the Premier Daniel Smith observed a little while ago, whereas this current Trudeau, he's out not to steal the oil and gas in Alberta, he's out to destroy it. So this is what he's set on, but fortunately, his term of office comes to an end in a year hence or something like that now, and he will eventually be gone. Hopefully, somehow, one can get rid of him sooner.
Well, he's survived 3 non-confidence votes so far this session of Parliament.
Oh, yeah, well, and the way the leader of the opposition phrased it was really wonderful. He just pointed out all the bad things that the leader of the NDP, the socialist government, which is keeping the Liberals in through sort of a coalition agreement, he just quoted the leader of the NDP. If he would act upon his verbal criticism of the government, he could pull the pin on them. So maybe in the new year, they'll have finally realized the best thing to do for Canada. Step one, get Trudeau out of office.
Well, the NDP's not quick to call an election because they're always begging for money, so they're short of funds. The Conservatives' election fund is just spilling over. They have so much money.
Oh, I think, yeah, under Polyev, I think they have all kinds of money. So, yeah.
Now, I just saw this headline, the UK, second month of economic contraction. Does that mean they're headed into recession?
That headline sounds like a recession, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, what's the official, though? You have to have 3/4 to be a recession?
They've got different definitions.
Yeah.
So what you'll want to do is, never mind the definition of a recession or not, just plot something that's economic and see if it's peaked and heading down. And I think a number of items are peaked and heading down, and occasionally I come across a headline that some economic series in the U.S. is plunging and things like that. Hey, good stuff.
Yeah, but they over-exaggerate everything now. When you watch the television news, everything is shocking, unbelievable, stunning. And I'm going, they just put in a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's stunning development in downtown New Westminster. Sidewalk appears magically.
Yeah.
Yes. Now everything's exaggerated. Bob, we'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Bob Hoy. Bob, headline. November jobs preview, we have returned to bad data, which is good for stocks.
Yeah.
In Canada, 50,000 jobs created, but unemployment went up to 6.8%. And that's only the people officially out of work. Once your employment insurance runs out, you're no longer unemployed.
You're not a statistical number.
You've just disappeared somewhere into the ether.
Yeah.
So it could be much more
than
6.8.
But I like the line that we've returned to where bad data are... Data is a plural word, isn't it? Yeah. Are good for the stocks. Yeah, that's true.
Headline, Trump victory sparks biggest jump in consumer sentiment since Clinton back in 1992 when his election slogan was, it's the economy, stupid.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, it's, everybody got, well, it was a very plus thing for politics and the economy to have Trump not just win, but it was a strong win. For the Republicans across the board. So it was good, in my eyes, a good election.
Now, throughout the election, President Trump promised that if he was elected, he would bring grocery prices down immediately. But in his interview with Time magazine, where he was named Person of the Year, he said, oh, maybe not. I can't control everything.
Yeah, no, it'll take a while.
Yeah. Headline, the commercial mortgage crisis deepens.
Yeah, more problems.
Is that all these empty office towers, people working from home?
Yeah, and people are carrying the mortgage, and I guess there's not enough rentals to cover the mortgage, so you got a problem.
Now, in theory, you'd think with more people working from home that traffic in downtown Vancouver and its commercial center would be less congested, but it's not. It's still completely nuts. Takes you half an hour to go two blocks.
I suppose it is. I don't know. I never go down there. So.
Well, I have. That's why I commute by SkyTrain and bus.
Oh, yeah.
At least I can read a book or look at stuff on my phone instead of being wrapped up. And I have a manual drive transmission.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I call an anti-theft device.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. Now... Wall Street Journal, crypto, meme stocks, masculinity inside the high-risk, high-reward investing of young men.
Yeah, I guess they're talking about hormones driving the stock markets up through the ambition of young men. Whatever, it's an interesting wrinkle.
Well, we take a look at the skyrocketing value of Bitcoin, as an example, well over $100,000 at times.
Yeah.
And people thought, oh, that would be impossible. But something that I noted back on my 60th birthday, everybody was saying, you got to get your Bitcoin. It was at $13,000 and it dropped $7,000 the next day.
Yeah.
And people are whining about their losses. Is this a phenomenon that's going to be long-term? Because Bitcoin and the S&P seem to march step in step, except Bitcoin, everything
it's
three times faster than the stock market. And when it falls, it's four times faster.
Yeah, it's a market item. And at some point, our fabulous bull market will burn out and many of the favorite stocks will get trashed. So... as we're saying, we've been looking for an important high in the stock markets for January, and we'll see how that goes.
Rick Ackerman, friend of the show, in his interview with us this week, he fears, yes, there's going to be a correction, but everything because of the logarithms and computerized trading, everything happens faster than you think it will. So if you think it's going to be mid-January, it could be the end of December.
Who cares about a week or so? We just that there is a tendency of major big moves in specific items. As I mentioned, silver was one. There's a tendency for them to peak in January. So
yeah,
that's what we're looking for.
Right, and this headline that we have right here, the mother of all bubbles in the U.S. is sucking money from the rest of the world.
Yeah, you know, I think somewhere in a file I've got the equivalent statement in 1929 when the big speculative U.S. market with large cap stocks was sucking up money from around the world.
Well, of course, traders aren't limited to just one country. In Canada, though, for investments, aren't we limited to how much we can invest outside the country? I'm not sure.
No, the point on the headline is that the hot money around the world is going to New York to play in the big cap stocks.
Headline from Breitbart, small business optimism soars to three-year high following Trump victory.
Yeah, they're liking it. Small business optimism, yeah, wonderful.
What happens if they have to start paying tariffs?
I don't think tariffs is going to. Tariff is a game intended to shape up the federal government in Canada.
Well, as long as they keep giving away hundreds of millions of dollars to countries that just skim it off before it gets to go to where it's needed, I don't have much confidence there.
Yeah.
Now, also, our final headline here, Bob. Defund the police advocate trolled after they got their U-Haul stolen.
Yeah. That's one of the wonderfully ironic headlines, isn't it? Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, everybody hates the police until you need them.
Yeah.
You know, and, oh, by the way, a friend of mine who's a cop pulls somebody over and they said, why aren't you out catching real criminals instead of going after speeders? And he points out over 900 people a year are killed in traffic accidents in BC, and the major number one cause is excessive speed.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah,
good.
So he pointed out that, I am stopping a potential criminal here.
Yeah.
Trying to keep you from killing somebody with your car. Bob, best of the season.
Very good. It's fun to get together, and let's look forward to, we're going to squeeze one in next week?
Yeah, it'll be a Merry Christmas.
And jolly, indeed.
Ho, ho, ho.
Okay, Jim.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.